I'm licking a fighty, I saw me to look.
We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across all of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
Thank you. باقي فلسطين على حالي والله وارفعي راسك بأبطالي
Palestinian civilians, men, women and children, does Israel have to slaughter? How many war crimes does Israel have to commit? How much death and destruction does Israel have to visit on the people of Gaza and Palestine before you will call for and impose sanctions on Israel? And expel the Israeli ambassador from this country and call for the immediate referral of Israel to the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity and war crimes. Because in front of the world, by their own admission, Israel is committing war crimes. They have stated it publicly. This isn't a matter of opinion. They declared their intention to force, through the threat of military bombardment, more than a million, and it is now well more than a million, Palestinians from their homes in northern Gaza and ethnically cleanse them. A crime against humanity. They stated publicly and have done it in front of the eyes of the world, the intention to deny to 2.2 million people water, electricity, medicine, life-saving...
A few weeks ago, right before this war in Gaza ignites, Netanyahu goes to the United Nations General Assembly and he holds up this map and declares his plan for a new Middle East. What it is an economic corridor that stretches all the way from India to the United Arab Emirates, into Saudi Arabia, into Jordan, Israel, and then finally to the entire European continent. You have all these spooks in Washington and Tel Aviv, you know, running around desperately trying to counter BRICS and counter China's new Silk Road. And this is their answer. This is a rival to the new Silk Road. It is the future of world economics, trade, and politics.
I've heard these claims since 2009. We have twice been threatened to leave Shifa Hospital in 2009 and 2014 because the Israelis were going to bomb it because it was a command center. Now, I have been working in Shifa for 16 years on and off, in very hectic periods. I've been able to walk freely around. I take lots of pictures, I video film, I've been sleeping in the hospital during bombardment. I've been all over. I've never been restricted, controlled. Nobody has ever controlled my picture and documentation material. So, well, if there is a command center, show us. You have pictures and x-ray films of all Gaza, all the tunnels, everything. So why is it that these 16 years of threats that Shifa is a command center has not been given any evidence at all that it de facto is now? If it was a military command center, I would not work there because I obey to the Geneva Convention.
All parties involved in the conflict are governed by a body of law drawn from systems of conventions, treaties, and war crimes tribunal rulings known as international humanitarian law or the law of armed conflict. Israel has not ratified certain protocols and conventions covering areas such as collective punishments, but the U.S. and other countries regard these provisions as having entered customary international law and therefore binding on all states. Also said that Israel may be committing the war crime of collective punishment through its siege of the Gaza territory. The International Committee of the Red Cross agreed.
Instructions issued by the Israeli authorities for the population of Gaza City to immediately leave their homes, covered in siege, because if they cannot have food, water, and electricity are not compatible with international humanitarian law,
it said. Amnesty International has said that it has
documented unlawful Israeli attacks, including indiscriminate attacks, which caused mass civilian casualties and must be investigated as war crimes.
Palestinians and Palestinian human rights organizations have long warned of the likelihood of genocide being the inevitable frame through which to access the widespread and systematic violations being committed against their people across the occupied Palestinian territory. Since October 7, 2023, Israel has escalated its 16-year-old closure over 2.2 million Palestinians. Palestinians in Gaza, where approximately half the population is under 18, indiscriminately and repeatedly bombing civilians while cutting off access to all basic necessities.
Have make no secret of it that they've always killed Palestinian civilians, sometimes at the rate of 100 to 1 Israeli death. So I think, given that, I think the use of the word terrorism is a mistake.
We're seeing no one can say no to Israel. The United Nations isn't able to say no to Israel without repercussions. Media figures aren't able to say no to Israel without repercussions. So what ends up happening is that you're basically raising a spoiled brat you're unable to say no to that has now grown up to be a sociopath.
But I never, never will concede that the essence of the Palestinian struggle, as the Israelis say, is terrorism. I think that the Palestinians, by and large, to a fantastic degree, have waged war against a merciless occupier, a person, a state, an army, an enemy that has dispossessed them and has done far, far worse to Palestinians than any Palestinians have done to Israelis. And I think one must always make the distinction between terrorism, which is, as I say, random and stupid and unpolitical, and the struggle against an oppressor. And I think in that particular distinction, I'm obviously for the latter and totally against the former.
Melody before. In fact, it has echoed across centuries. 56 million Native Americans was killed, and the question was, do you condemn the wild red Indians? 250,000 perished when nuclear bombs devastated Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the question was, do you condemn Pearl Harbor? 3.6 million people has been killed in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen, and the question was, do you condemn 9/11? Over 1 million people were killed in Iraq, and the question was, do you condemn the weapon of mass destruction? The list is long, but you get the full image now. It's the same story with different villains. And here we are, once again, do you condemn Hamas? Another attempt to justify brutal killings. This is not a war between religions, because those who are behind it, they don't believe. This has always been about power and resources, and that's the bigger picture. Expecting a solution from those who created the web is like a bug asking the spider for its freedom.
any human being living under apartheid at some point will either die a terrible silent death or rebel.
Where is that written exactly? You keep saying it as if it's a fact, a legal fact, but I don't know where that is. I don't know where to find that fact. I mean, I know where it is, where it's written that the Palestinians have a right to resist occupation even by armed struggle. I know where that is. I can show you in your own laws where that is. But where is this so-called legal right of an occupation to defend against the legal resistance of the occupied? Where is the right to defend occupation? That's what I want to know. And don't try to tell me that Gaza is not occupied. Israel controls the borders. They control sea access. They control the airspace. They decide how much food they can even have, how much water, whether they can have fuel, whether or not they can even turn the lights on in their own homes. Israel decides all of that. They decide whether or not they have internet access. I don't know how much more occupied you can be. It's as occupied as a concentration camp. Even when Israel tries to claim that it has the right to do what they're doing, in Gaza, they cite the rules around non-international conflicts, meaning they do not consider Gaza to be a separate independent territory.
But the best that can be said about it is that it's advanced a political goal. I mean, certainly the Zionists have used it and brought it, in fact, to the area. Terrorism, as we know it today, the planting of bombs in marketplaces and so on and so forth, was, in fact, introduced into the Middle East by the Zionists in the 20s. So I'm against that, but what I'm also trying to say is that some people will say that it advances a political cause. I myself don't feel that it does. I mean, I think it in this way it simply attracts attention to it. But the net result of Zionist terrorism and violence in the first third of the 20th century has brought forth, to my mind, the anomaly, the horrific and unacceptable status in the Middle East today of the State of Israel, which is in fact an armed garrison state, which now exports more arms and distributes violence all around the world, vastly disproportionate to its size. I mean, in that respect, I think it's a horrible cycle of violence. But in it all, I think the Palestinian is the victim. There's no question about that.
A few weeks ago, right before this war in Gaza ignites, Netanyahu goes to the United Nations General Assembly and he holds up this map and declares his plan for a new Middle East. What it is an economic corridor that stretches all the way from India to the United Arab Emirates, into Saudi Arabia, into Jordan, Israel, and then finally to the entire European continent. You have all these folks in Washington and Tel Aviv, you know, running around desperately trying to counter BRICS and counter China's new Silk Road. And this is their answer. This is a rival to the new Silk Road. It is the future of world economics, trade, and politics. Within the span of a few weeks, Iran and Iraq have signed a railway deal. So now you have a rail link for the new Silk Road. And President Assad of Syria, who the West have been trying to isolate for over a decade, is now visiting China, the world's largest economy, and signing a strategic partnership. So now the new Silk Road has rail access all the way to the Mediterranean Sea through Syria's port in Latakia. So not just land, but maritime trade. This is just one aspect. You still have the gas. Russia is the country with the largest proven reserves of natural gas. Control Ukraine, and you control the pipelines that feed and supply Russian gas to Europe. For decades, you've had U.S. politicians, Republican and Democrat, from every administration, openly saying on camera, we don't want Nord Stream.
There will be no
Nord
Stream 2.
You want to have pipelines that will go through Ukraine and Russia. For years, we've tried to get the Europeans to be interested in different pipeline routes. It's time to do that. You want to depend more on the North American energy platform, a tremendous bounty of oil and gas that we're finding in North America.
Lo and behold, Nord Stream 1 and 2 are blown up. This is that question. The largest terrorist attack on European infrastructure in modern history. So now there's no more Russian gas coming into Europe, and just like that, the United States have achieved a long-standing foreign policy objective. Now, the only other country with enormous gas reserves, the second largest in the world, is Iran. Iran signed the nuclear deal in 2015 and 2016. They're complying in every way imaginable. The IAEA and the UN cannot be happier. And then the United States go back on their word, and they rip it up just like that and reimpose sanctions on Iran. So now Iran is barred from selling its oil and gas to Europe and others. So Russia and Iran, the two countries with the largest gas reserves, are out of the picture. Then Israel, all of a sudden, proposed themselves as a solution to the European Union's gas shortages.
Take out my bedroom energy, for example, that we closed in June with Egypt and Israel. It has played an important role in our strategy to get rid of the Russian fossil fuels.
How convenient. In 2010, they conduct a geological survey and find this giant gas field in the Middle East. It's called the Leviathan, and it's in the Mediterranean Sea on the Levantine Basin. That means it's right off the coast of Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria. Syria initially declines offers over its gas reserves and simultaneously refuses to lay pipes for a Qatari gas project. Barely a year later, war breaks out in Syria. And who's funding it? Qatar and Israel and the United States are just some of the parties funding and running this war to overthrow the government in Damascus. Today, the United States control one-third of Syria. They control all of Syria's oil fields. And Israel is bombing Syria's most vital port, Latakia, on a regular basis. So they're cutting off all the oil revenue and destroying any maritime activity, such as trade, such as gas exploration. Another major port on the Levantine coast is in Beirut, which mysteriously explodes in 2020. And so Israel, proposing itself as a solution to Europe's gas shortages, shows up with an FPSO, this enormous gas extraction vessel, and tries stealing gas from Lebanon's Karish gas field. And, you know, this reignites a huge maritime border dispute. Now, we come to Gaza. Gaza also has its own unexplored gas field. Gaza is also a concentration camp run by the Israelis, and it's been under siege by Egypt and Israel under naval blockade since 2007. And so now, the Lebanese, the Syrian, the Palestinian ports, they're all out of action, and the only working port left in the coast is the Israeli port on Haifa. This makes Israel the only one able to explore gas and implement an economic corridor like the one that Netanyahu held up at the UN. But as winter is approaching, Israel desperately need to get that gas for Europe. But there's no stability. There can never be stability in the region without solving the Palestinian question. And so when Netanyahu shows up at the UN with his brilliant plan, you know, the Israelis thought, oh, it's a done deal. You know, they'll just get Saudi Arabia to normalize ties and thereby extinguish the Palestinian issue once and for all. Hamas and the collective resistance, it became clear they needed to act and respond immediately, lest Palestine be lost forever. For Palestinians, this is and always has been a matter of life and death, to be or not to be.
هذه المدارس فيها آلاف النازحين، آلاف النازحين. في ناس هناك عالقة، في ناس هناك عالقة يا شباب.
بالفسفور.
هذه هي الطريقة الوحيدة اللي عشان يطفوا فيها الفسفور.
هيا فسفور.
مرة ثانية. زين. هاي فسفور هاي يا جماعة. فسفور على مدرسة كان هاي. هاي على الناس. ما حول ولا قوة.
الفسفور اللي اجت على البيوت المجاورة لمدارس فيها المدارس فيها آلاف النازحين. مش طبيعيين الناس.
ياخذ هاي كمان وأمن حالك. أجيب لك شو اسمه هذا؟
لا لا لا.
أجيب لك بحلول؟
لا لا لا. كله تمام.
Transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.
Expozine 2023, Canada's biggest and best zine fair, is back.
Don't miss your one chance to check out new books and zines created by hundreds of independent voices. Whether it's radical zines, comics, poetry, or the small press in both English and French, you'll find it at Expozine. Check out expozine.ca for information about programming, about the opening party on December 1st, and to see the list of participants. The Expozine Fair takes place on December 2nd and 3rd from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Free admission at 1025 Bélanger, right near Jean Talon Metro. Visit expozine.ca for more information. An ArcMTL and CKUT co-presentation.
Mixel vous propose 8 fois la valeur sur vos recharges.
Envoyez $13 ou plus
de crédit vers Haïti. Vos proches recevront 8 fois la valeur, plus 8 GB de données. Et vous aurez la chance de gagner
des milliers de primes.
Utilisez l'application Digicel International.
Visitez topop.digicelgroup.com
ou rendez-vous chez un agent Digicel.
Oui, envoyez $13 ou plus
de recharge vers Haïti et vos proches recevront 8 fois la valeur, plus 8 GB de données, termes et conditions applicables. La promotion se termine
le 7 janvier.
Okay, I'm here.
This is Biff.
Kiwi.
And the Rawa de Pampelamoose from Shalabi Effect. And you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
ارجع لورا شباب
ارجع لورا يا حمدان ارجع يا شباب
The Israeli occupation forces launched a large-scale attack on Gaza for the fourth time since 2008. This time, the choice served the interests of ex-Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was fighting to save his chair and avoid incarceration. It all started in the beginning of Ramadan, when the Israeli authorities decided to place new checkpoints at the entrance to Damascus Gate in the old city of Jerusalem. They then attacked Palestinians who gathered there to enjoy breaking the daily fast with friends and family. It took 2 weeks of police violence and a steadfast response by Palestinian protesters for the police to back down. Meanwhile, the resumption of weekly demonstrations and daily vigils in the East Jerusalem neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, protesting against the forcible expulsion of Palestinian families there, saw police using brutal force against residents and protesters alike. At the Temple Mount, police forces wounded hundreds of Palestinians, including a number of journalists, followed by their entrance to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where they threw stun grenades at Palestinians inside. Armed policemen running over prayer rugs and attacking worshippers in one of Islam's holiest sites and during its holiest month could not have happened without someone making the deliberate decision to engage in such extreme acts. 2 weeks into the events, President Mahmoud Abbas announced he was cancelling the Palestinian elections. The official reason was the Israel decision to prevent Jerusalemite Palestinians from participating in violation of the Oslo Accords. Yet the decision was clearly designed to serve Abbas's interests. On May 10, during Israel's notorious Jerusalem Day flag march, Palestinian resistance forces fired rockets at Jerusalem. Israel chose to respond by attacking Gaza. The airstrikes in Gaza lasted 11 days. 266 Palestinians were killed, among which were 78 children. Over 1,950 Gazans were injured. This show commemorates the children and youth that were killed in Gaza and the West Bank by the occupation forces during May 2021.
يا مغيث أغثنا يا رب يا مغيث أغثنا يا أنوار يا رب بقدر تكون جدارتك ترفع ترفع على جوارنا يا أنوار
عندنا في الشوارع بدينا
اليوم الأول 5/10/2021 مروان يوسف عطلة المصري 6 سنوات رهف محمد عطلة المصري 10 سنوات إبراهيم يوسف عطلة المصري 11 سنة يداً سلطان عطلة المصري سنتين. حسين منير حسين حمد 11 سنة. إبراهيم عبد الله محمد حسنين 16 سنة. محمد صابر إبراهيم سليمان 15 سنة. اليوم الثاني 5/11/2021. زايد محمد الطلباني 5 سنوات. بنت مفقودة 2. حلا حسين الريفي 13 سنة. بشار أحمد سمور 17 سنة. اليوم الثالث 5/12/2021. محمد تيسير أبو عليان 15 سنة. عمار تيسير عايش العمور 11 سنة. حمادة عطية عبد العمور 13 سنة. يحيى مازن شحادة خليفة 13 سنة. اليوم الرابع والخامس 13/5/2021 و14/5/2021. حور مؤمن الزاملي 3 سنوات. إبراهيم محمد الرنتيسي 2. أحمد رامي الحواجري 14 سنة. لينا محمد عيسى 13 سنة. محمد يوسف كيوان 17 سنة. محمد حامد طلبي 13 سنة. خالد عماد القنو 17 سنة. إسماعيل التناني 7 سنوات. أدهم التناني 4 سنوات. أمير التناني 6 سنوات. محمد التناني 2. محمد العطار 8 شهور. محمد سلامي أبو دية 10 شهور. إسلام زين العطار 9 سنوات. أميرة زين العطار 7 سنوات. محمد زين العطار 8 سنوات. خمس أطفال لم يتم التعرف عليهم. اليوم السادس 15/5/2021. عبد الله أشرف جودي 12 سنة. يوسف أبو حطب 10 سنوات. بلال أبو حطب 9 سنوات. مريم أبو حطب 7 سنوات. يامن أبو حطب 5 سنوات. صهيب الحديدي 12 سنة. عبد الرحمن الحديدي 7 سنوات. أسامة الحديدي 5 سنوات. بثينة محمد عبيد 6 سنوات. اليوم السابع 16/5/2021. محمد أحمد عطية 17 سنة. آيات إبراهيم الكلب 19 سنة. أحمد شكري الكلك 15 سنة. دانا رياض إشكنتنا 9 سنوات. توفيق أيمن أبو العوف 17 سنة. ديما رامي الفرنجي 15 سنة. آدم عزات الكلك 3 سنوات. قصي سامح الكلك 6 أشهر. زيد عزة الكلك 8 سنوات. زين رياض شكنتنا 2 سنين. يحيى رياض شكنتنا 4 سنوات. هنا شكري الكلك 14 سنة. تالا أيمن أبو العوف 13 سنة. اليوم الثامن 17/5/2021. ميرا رامي رياض الفرنجي 11 سنة. يزن رامي رياض الفرنجي 13 سنة. رولا محمد معين الكلك 15 سنة. ها هالة محمد معين الكلك 13 سنة. يارا محمد معين الكلك 9 سنوات. لنا رياض حسين شكنتنا 4 سنوات. يوسف رفيق الباز 13 سنة. اليوم التاسع 18/5/2021. رهف مرشد كامل أبو داير 10 سنوات. اليوم العاشر 19/5/2021. منى إياد فتح شرير 2 سنوات. اليوم 11/20/5/2021. نغم إياد صالحة 2 سنوات. ديما سعد صالحة 10 سنوات. أمير تيسير العمور 13 سنة. يحيى محمد صبح الحديدي 10 سنوات. حمزة علي 12 سنة. أمير الفرنجي 9 سنوات. فوزية أبو فارس 17 سنة. محمد الكلك 17 سنة. محمد يونس فرحات 15 سنة. دعاء إياد شراب 13 سنة. براء غرابلي 4 سنوات. عبيدة جوابري 17 سنة. عبد الله جودي 12 سنة. إسلام وائل فهمي دار ناصر 16 سنة. لينا شرير 16 سنة.
والله نطلع كسر.
وين يطلع؟ وين بيوصل؟
الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا إله إلا الله. يا رب لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. بتعدي
يا رب، بتعدي على خير بيدنا اللي ما بدنا نعين. يا رب ما تدس حياتنا حضرتك يا رب.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
يا رب الحين عطت الخير.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
قولي لها الوضع وقصف الجنين في الأفاق مش قادرين نتحرك.
لا حول ولا
قوة إلا بالله.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا
بالله. والله
مين؟ لا انا افضلنا يا يعني نور. نروح نموت في الشوارع؟
والله ما بطلع
الا خلينا
اموت.
ايوه الله اكبر. لا اله الا الله. ما دام بخطوا في الشوارع احنا بخير بعيدين عنا. مش
ان شاء الله لعل وعسى تكون يا ربي اخر ساعه. يا رب عسى يكون اخر ساعه يا رب.
لا اله الا الله. الله اكبر. الله اكبر. الله اكبر. الله اكبر.
لا اله الا الله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
هذه آثار حياة الرماه.
حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. الآن نحن مغطى في مدار الصحة. تم استهدافنا. الآن نعمة الطوارئ. نعمة الطوارئ تم استهدافنا. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل.
الحمد لله سلامتكم.
Listening to Birds of Gaza, in memory of the children and youth that were killed in Gaza and the West Bank by the occupation forces during May 2021. Names and ages collected by the Palestine Ministry of Health and activists in Gaza, narrated by poet Darin Tatur. Introductory text from Israel Chooses Violence, written by Chagai Matal for Plus972 magazine. Sounds in order of appearance. Field recordings by the people of Gaza. Heart, No Crossing and Neshimot by Meira Asher. Mba Ferignesso, Madagascar. Dikoboda Sombe of the Aka Pygmies. Materialized by Meira Asher and Darin Tatur at Radio Art 106 for Radia.fm.
Le matin, mon cadran est assez cahuté. Pendant le déjeuner, j'écoute ses cahutés. En me rendant au travail, j'écoute ses cahutés.
Pourquoi quelques hurlaires veulent tout
au travail, on écoute tous ces cahutés. Pendant que je prépare le souper, c'est sécurité. Plus tard, pour relaxer, je syntonise ses qualités. Et dans mon lit, j'écoute encore ses qualités.
Ses qualités! Ses qualités!
Je capote sur toi. Tout ça au 90.3 FM à Montréal.
Blog, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.